What did we talk about last week? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God, those of you that were here, what? God gives the increase. God gives the growth. We talked about how as Christians we have tasks that we are supposed to be doing, and that is the planting, the putting the seeds into the soil, and the watering of the seed. But just like agriculture, God does the growth. God does this growth with seed germination. And God does the growth with regeneration when it comes to a Christian's life. And no matter how much we look at our watch or how much time goes by, God is working, but you don't always get to see the growth. What's happening underneath the soil. If you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, that's where we will be today, Matthew chapter 13. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about outplanting. Outplanting, our series has been all about farming illustrations from the Bible that show us how to share God's love with others. How to share God's love with others. And it's important to have seed before you come to the planting process. You farmers out there, if you went out to the field with your planters and you forgot the seed, it wouldn't do you a whole lot of good to drive around the field, would it? It would just be a waste of time. And so seed is necessary. Seed is important as part of the planting process. The New Testament gives us two types of seed. We're going to look at the first seed this week, and next week we'll talk about moms because it's Mother's Day. And then the following week we'll talk about the second type of seed. The second type of seed that the Bible talks to us about in relation to evangelizing or sharing our faith. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, hopefully you've opened your Bible there, whether it's a hard copy or a digital copy on your device, whatever you happen to have. There's headings. My Bible has headings, no matter whether it's digital or hard copy. And some of the headings in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, the purpose of parables, the parable of the sower explained, the parable of the weeds, the mustard seed and the leaven, the prophecy and parables, and the parable of the weeds explained. As Matthew is writing this, he kind of just pushes a bunch of Jesus' parables together and kind of gives them to us in a chunk here of Jesus' teaching, telling us about parables and what are parables. I've heard it said that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. They're an earthly story, something that very easily could have happened. We don't know if each of them did happen, but Jesus used these earthly stories to talk about a heavenly meaning. And so what does that say? Most of these parables, Jesus starts with the phrase, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like, and then he goes into a parable. It's like this, because he's trying to describe it in a way that humanity can understand, because he's Jesus and he knows what the kingdom of God is like, and we're humanity and we have a hard time conceptualizing. And so Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like, and then he goes into this parable, and we're going to look at one of them today, and we're going to dig in the explanation. There's a couple parts of this that I want to read before we get to our main text, and the first is verses 10 through 17. The purpose of parables. Jesus says this, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus says, this is why I'm telling you parables. Because you guys who are following me, I want you to get it. I want you to understand. And so that's why in several of these, Jesus took the disciples aside and said, okay, here it is, guys. This is what I just told you. I want you to get the picture here. If you didn't get it from the parable, I'm going to tell you. And sometimes he doesn't do it in these scriptures, but sometimes Jesus is like, why are you so dull? Wouldn't you love for Jesus to say that about you? Why are you so dull? No, I don't think you'd want Jesus to say that about you, but sometimes Jesus said that, but he knew his disciples needed to get the meaning, and that sometimes our minds can't wrap around it, and so he explained things. We're going to read the parable of the weeds next, and what it says, verses 24 through 30. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared, again, there's that phrase, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And so Jesus gives this earthly story of a master planting grain, planting wheat, and somebody bad coming in and also planting some weeds. Don't know why somebody would do this, but I guess he's just trying to mess with the master. He's mad at him, maybe, and so he's sowing some weeds. And so when they start to see these plants come up, they go, I recognize you, but you don't look like something I planted. You're not supposed to be there. And the master says, well, don't pull up the weed, because you might pull up the wheat too. So let it all come up, and then we'll go through and we'll take out all of the bad stuff and burn that, and we'll harvest the wheat and get a good crop. That's what Jesus says, and so later he explains it. If there's ever an explanation for Scripture, make sure you read the explanation for Scripture before you come up with your own thoughts. Because when Scripture explains itself, that's the best part. So let's read our text for this morning, starting in verse 36. Then he left the crowds, this is Jesus, left the crowds and went into the house. So they're going and they're kind of having just a little bit of group time, and his disciple came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. The disciples are like, we don't quite get it, Jesus. You just told us something. We think it's going to be on a test later, so we've taken notes, but we need a little help with the answers. They need a little tutoring here. And so they're like, Jesus, can you give us a little bit of help? And Jesus answered, verse 37, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom, all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. There are three questions, and we're kind of zooming in. We looked a little bit at Matthew 13. We zoomed in a little bit farther and talked about parables and talked about the parable of the weeds. Then we just read the parable of the weeds and the explanation. Now we're going to zoom in just a little bit farther. Pretend it's a microscope. We're just getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer to see what this means, what this specific part means for us. So let's spell it out. Let's ask some questions. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus. The Son of Man equals Jesus. So on your sheets, if you got them today, the Son of Man equals Jesus. Where is the world? Talks about the world in this passage. Where is the world? The field? Which world is he talking about? This one. He's talking about this world. He's not talking about somewhere else. He's not talking about aliens. He's talking about this world. The world is, the field is the world. It's this world. It's where we live. It's where we dwell. It's this little round ball right here. It's the world. But there's one more question. Who are the good seed? So let's start putting this together. The farmer in the parable is Jesus. The place where the field is the world. That's where we are located. The next question could change. It could affect how you live in your communities, the things that you do. So who are the good seed? Believers. The good seed are believers. It says there that the good seed are Christians. The good seed are the ones who believe in Jesus. Do you realize what that means? My seed this morning are pretty small. Try not to drop them. Here's one. You are seed. The Bible says that the first seed is you as a Christian. So this series is all about getting practical. This series is all about not just learning what the Bible has to say, but what do we do with that? So you ask the question, what does this mean for me? I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm so glad you asked that because I have some things that it means for us. Application number one means that Jesus is sowing you, if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're a believer in what Jesus did, he died upon the cross for your sins, that Jesus is sowing you into the world. This is my little world here. And Jesus is sowing you into the world. See, this packet of seeds, I don't know how many seeds are in here, but there's a decent amount. This packet of seeds is kind of like our church. And inside the church is a bunch of seeds. I look around and there's a bunch of us here this morning. And so God wants to just take his church and use them around the world. Maybe it's Napanee or Goshen or South Bend. Maybe it's Plymouth or Bremen or Bourbon or Etna Green or Warsaw. Maybe God wants to use you in those locations as seed. And so he sprinkles you around. We have missionaries, and God is sprinkling missionaries throughout the globe. God is spreading his message all over. But let me show you what that means specifically. This, you can't really see it because it's way too small. This is Roger. This is Roger right here. God took Roger and God planted Roger in a little town known as Bourbon. I have neighbors. I have a community that I'm involved in. Some of you, on your sheets, it says, this is Jesus planting blank. Write your name there. This is Jesus planting blank in, where is God wanting to plant you? Where has God planted you? What community has God surrounded you with? What employment has God placed you in? What field has God given you to be his seed? I'm going to say this. You can write, fill in the blanks there. You can be certain that God has sown you into the fields where you live, where you work, where you go to school, where you play, and where you shop. We all have places we go. We all have things that we do. We all have people we interact with, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's going to a store, like we go to Meijer quite a bit. So going to Meijer and maybe interacting with people there. My favorite store is Menards, I just have to say. I just love going to Menards and just walking around. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it's all the hardware and tools and stuff and great things. But anyways, I like Menards, and so I begin to recognize people. I'm like, oh, I've seen you before. I asked you a question once, or hey, I know you. You begin to recognize people in your field, but have you seen those people and said, you know what, maybe I should tell them about Jesus. Maybe I should begin to build some sort of a relationship with them where we live, where we work, where we go to school, where you play, where you shop, to share your faith with them. We have to learn, let me put it this way, we have to learn that the places that God has placed us are the places that he wants us as seed, where he wants us to be sitting there and affecting those around us, beginning to grow and show others the growth that he's putting in our life, because it's all, this is all, his field. The world we live in is all God's field. So let's move on to the second application. Seed must come into contact with the soil to be sown. And you say, well, duh. If I drop some seed, which I probably have, shh, don't tell. If I drop some seed on this carpet, is it going to grow? Hopefully not. Otherwise, I'll be up here picking them out. Why? Because seed needs soil. And we say that and we laugh about things, but the fact is seed must come into contact with the soil to be effective. Another way to say it is this: the purpose of seed is to get dirty. The purpose of seed is to get dirty. I said that this packet of seed was a lot like the church, but sometimes as Christians, we say, no, Jesus, I don't want to leave the comfort of the church. It's all nice and warm here, and I have people who believe like I do. No, don't take me out of that. I feel so good here. No! But Jesus says, you are my seed. You don't belong. You shouldn't stay in this packet forever. I'm planting you into somewhere outside the church. And so Jesus takes us outside of the church, and he goes, and he places us into the world somewhere. And he did that with a purpose. He did that with a reason. Just like the farmer doesn't just leave his seed in the planter or leave his seed in the bag. Jesus doesn't want his followers to stay in the church. Now, as far as I know, none of you live here. There's a couple of you that I wonder sometimes if you live here. But most of you don't live here. You live outside the church. You live in places and communities that are not here. Even the closest of you are maybe a block away. Country block, not a real block, because we're long blocks here. But you're maybe like a block away. God has placed you in that community to be effective for Him. Now let me just kind of take a little side note here. I'm not saying that getting dirty, that we should get involved in sin. I'm not saying that we should become sinful in order to win people to Christ. That sounds completely absurd. But I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying. Let me give you a demonstration of this in Jesus' life. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word in John? The Word in John is Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus, the Word, was with God. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in heaven with God. He was there, the Bible tells us, from creation on. In a very holy, pure, nice, comfortable place in heaven where there was no sin, there were no problems, there was no death, there was no dying, there was no destruction. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there, and Jesus is God, pure, holy, blameless. That's verse 1. You skip down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word got dirty. God took the Word out of heaven, placed Him in Mary. Mary gave birth to Him. He grew up in this sinful world. He had 12 disciples. Hello, bunch of misfits, crazy people. He had 12 disciples that weren't automatically just sinless because they hung around Jesus all the time. Can you imagine trying to hide your sins from Jesus? That's kind of how these 12 guys were. While they were growing in their faith, they weren't perfect. Look at when Jesus, like the end of his life, some of the things that happened. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The rest of them just kind of scattered and ran away. These were not perfect people. Jesus says to Peter at one point, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's a phrase you want to hear too. But here is Jesus being placed in a sinful world, and the Bible tells us that He never committed a sin. He was holy and pure and blameless. So as Christians, as God's seed, we also have to be placed into maybe some dirty circumstances. Means maybe you're going to be around people who do things that are not your favorite. Maybe you're going to have to come home smelling like smoke. Maybe you're going to have to listen to some bad jokes. Maybe you're going to have to tolerate some attitudes that are not anything in what you believe. Maybe you're going to have to put up with some sarcasm, or maybe you're going to have to be patient with them because you're planting a seed and you're watering and you're praying and you're watering and you're praying and you're going, "God, are you doing anything here?" But you have to be patient with their doubts and their skepticism. Maybe it's being around their language and you go, "I don't want to hear that. That's not anything I would ever say. I didn't even know that word." I remember we sat down in Walmart one day at the subway there in Warsaw. And this guy sat in the booth with somebody else next to us, and he was just, and it was every other word. And our daughters were there, and I was just like, "I don't want you to be hearing these things." But at the same time, we live in a world where we have to get dirty as Christians, or else we're not going to have an effect on it at all. If we stay in the church and dress nicely and look clean all the time, We're not going to be out there in the world doing what God calls us to do. And what is that? What does God call us to do? God calls us to radiate spiritual light. Spiritual light into a dark world. God calls us to demonstrate our relationship with Christ. God calls us to walk in the truth. And God calls us to show people that it's possible to be set free from sin. Maybe not perfectly because we're not Jesus, but we can say no to sin. Don't forget, I know some of you weren't here for last week, but don't forget that it's God who does the growth. If somebody walked in this church today off the street, you could tell they were homeless. They just reeked of everything. And they came into this church, what would we do? Would we say, boy, I sure am glad that you are here this morning. I sure am glad. Have a seat right up front if you want. Would we walk up to them and shake their hand? Would we welcome them here? I would hope so. Because that's a little piece of the world coming in to join us. And God calls us to go out to the world. So it's like God brought somebody into us. And we have this huge opportunity to be a witness to them. Huge opportunity to welcome them, to join them in and pray for them and care for them and become a part of their lives. Last application. Seed must die to bear fruit. Seed must die to bear fruit. Jesus said this. John 12, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. There are parts to a seed, and I looked it up this week and tried to understand it, and I really still don't understand it. But there are parts to a seed, and the seed, when you push it in the soil, it begins to germinate and begins to grow, and it needs the soil and the sunlight and the water, and it needs all of that to start to happen. Seed has to die in order to bear fruit. Seeds can't remain seeds forever. They have to begin to be able to germinate, and the germination is kind of the death, but the growth of the new plant. That's the whole purpose of this seed, is to grow. Since we are seeds, and in order to bear much fruit, we have to die, what are some things that we could die to? I'm not telling you to go out and do anything like commit suicide. That is not what I'm saying. Not that kind of death. We have to die to our time. What does that mean? Maybe you're in a hurry. I've told you guys stories before about being in a hurry to go somewhere, and somebody I see on the side of the road is broken down, and I'm like, this is my but God moment. But God, I don't have time. But God says, no, you need to do that. So I turn around and I'm planted wherever that is. You might have to die to your time. Do you have to die to your comforts? I don't really love really cold weather, and I don't love really hot weather. The weather we've been having has been nice. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying the weather we've been having. But once it gets really hot, I want to be inside where the air conditioning is. But what if God calls you to go outside and talk to a neighbor? And it's 97 degrees outside today. But God, I'm so nice and cool in here, and I'm not even sweating yet. But God says, you need to die to your comfort. What about dying to your desires or dying to your reputation? Talking about Jesus Christ is not a very popular thing to do. So are you willing to die to your reputation in order to witness to others? It's when we make sacrifices for others, putting them first, putting ourselves second, that non-believers begin to be open and to recognize seeing the light, being able to see that we're shining, to be able to see that we're different than the rest of the world. This morning it's this: we are seed. If you're a Christian here, if you're a believer, you are a seed. Say, I am a seed. I am a seed planted by God in His fields. There is one field, the world, but you have multiple fields, and we'll spell that out a little bit more in a couple weeks. But we are seed planted by God in His fields. I said this has been very practical, so I want to challenge you. There's a reminder. I have seed packets at each of the doorway. Take one of those seed packets. On the front of it, it says the verse, the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. And then at the bottom of that, it says, I am a seed planted by God in His field. Take one of these this morning. There's enough for everybody. Take one. If you run out at your door, find another doorway. Take one. Place this in a spot where you're going to see it. Maybe it's in your car. You set it kind of on your dash there. Maybe it's where you work. You set it on your desk. Maybe it's at home. You put it by your front door so that you remember that God has planted you in this location, whatever it may be, for a reason. And then this week, begin to look for ways to begin cultivating relationships. Our neighborhood just had garage sales this weekend. So Friday, I walked around, and I got to meet some of my neighbors that I just beginning to meet and start talking to them about stuff. Begin to look for ways to begin just cultivating relationships, starting to have conversations with people. Just starting to build those relationships because you are seed. Let's pray this morning. Father, You have planted us in the places that You have planted us with a purpose. God, help us not to just blindly go through our lives and think, oh, I'll be fine, I don't need to do anything, when You have put us here for a reason. The Bible tells us that You have planted us here to do good works so that we may show others Your love. So we may show others why we believe what we believe and just begin to have conversations with them. So God, help us this week. Help us to have those conversations with people. Help us to begin building those relationships to be able to someday tell them about You. Someday be able to plant a seed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.